Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of From Pain to Power. And I have another guest with me today. So I have Ellen Franklin Carr, who is a good slash old new friend from a few years ago when I lived in Manchester for a year, and Ellen and I stayed in touch, and I was on her podcast recently enough. Was it about a year ago? No, it was before the pandemic, wasn't it, Ellen?
Yeah, but then you came back on. Not too long ago.
So I have Ellen's bio here, which I'd really love to read out because it sets us up well for this conversation, which is all about being busy from a place of ease. And that really is the crux of your work, isn't it? Being busy from a place of ease. So we'll get into that in a minute. Ellen Franklin Carr is a multi-passionate creative, holistic coach, yoga teacher and student and facilitator of transformation. Through her coaching, she supports creatives, heart-led entrepreneurs and quiet rebels to deeply know and trust themselves so they can live and work in ways that feel good to them. She also makes creative work that encourages us to question the way we do things and supports positive change in individuals and society. She combines her lived experience with her work as a creative and training as a trauma-sensitive yoga teacher and holistic coach. Her coaching work is rooted in the philosophy and practice of yoga, its sister science Ayurveda, and the pagan wheel of the year. All her work is trauma sensitive and rooted in radical well-being philosophy. I love that bio, Ellen. You're so welcome. How are you doing?
Thank you. I am really well. Thank you very much for having me.
Good to have you here. I mean, it's funny to be swapped seats.
Okay.
I'm asking you the questions today.
I love it.
So tell us about your, what's the name of your business again? Because you changed it recently.
I did. Yeah, it's The Good Space.
That's right. So tell us about The Good Space. What is The Good Space and what do you do there?
Good question. I feel like it's shifting and evolving, I guess, as I do. So previously I was working under the name Being Change. And that was a holistic business that I set up in 2018-ish, and that was to support me to deliver my yoga and Ayurveda work. Mm-hmm. And then that was all in person, and it was all in person pretty much. And then when the pandemic happened, there was this first big shift, and I went, you know, explored online things. And through that process of transformation, I suppose, during the pandemic and working with a coach that I was working with, I realized that I wanted to let go of that identity of the business and come to this called The Good Space, which was an idea that I'd had for a really long time. And the name for the business comes from a Sanskrit word that's kind of part of yogic philosophy and teachings, which is sukha, which is can be translated as ease, but also as kind of creating this sense of a good space inside of ourselves. And the opposite of it would be dukkha, which is kind of a negative space and a dark space. And so the idea is that our yoga practice, and that being all of our yoga practice, like our physical and meditation and how we live, helps us to create this space of ease within ourselves. So I was like, I really like that. And I've always had this vision to actually have an actual space, a physical place. That is a vision that I still have in my mind, and who knows if one day I will create that. But that's I always thought, and I'll call that The Good Space. So it would be the space where sort of a completely holistic space for well-being, so that would have things like yoga classes and whatever that we might expect to be in a well-being space, but there would also be a place for people to come and make art, experience art, and that being art in all its forms, music, theater, painting, whatever, people to have political conversations, people to come and learn new things, a real community space, a space that was kind of within nature but accessible had its own gardens and that kind of space is lovely, and probably had like a residential aspect to it as well. So then during the pandemic, I was like, okay, I think I want to make my business feel like this space. And it partly came from me wanting to welcome in all of who I am and all of what I do. So I also run a theatre company, and I have run that since 2011. And I was keeping those two parts of my work really separate, and I just more and more wanted to bring them together and integrate them. So coming to the Good Space was kind of a move towards that, which is a really long way of answering your question of what is the Good Space and what do I do? But yeah,
I love
The Good Space is where it's my online home that hopes to be this kind of holistic space for well-being and creativity. And it's where I do my work as a coach, as a kind of creator of online education and, you know, courses, workshops, etc. I think it's also, and this is kind of new, like also where I can put my own creativity. So have a practice as an independent creative practitioner, as opposed to running my theatre company, which I still have as a separate thing. So yeah, it's really just me trying to mix all these things together of who I am and just offer it in this space. And that's where I do it.
I love that, Ellen. It really does feel and sound like you, and your vision as well of what you had. You know, I love that vision of the actual physical space, and hopefully it'll manifest to that someday, and I will certainly be signing up for that. But it does sound so. Are you working with clients online, or are you running courses with the Good Space?
Yeah, so I'm working with clients online, one-to-one clients, and that's, I had sort of a little bit of another, not a pivot, but like a little bit of a reconfiguration of the business earlier this year. And I've just sort of resurfaced with the spring with that. And my main focus at the moment is one-to-one client work. I've got some ideas for kind of courses and things that I might develop and deliver when I have time to create those things. But yeah, at the moment, one-to-one client work is the main thing.
Lovely. And so for people listening to this, what kind of things do you help people with?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So I usually work with, I mean, I'm open to working with anybody who is drawn to me. I always feel like if you feel connected, you feel that sense of this feels like for me, then great, get in touch. What I have on my website and what is generally the case is I often work with creatives and with heart-led business owners and what I call quiet rebels.
That in your bio. Love that.
Yeah, because I feel like that's me. Like I want to change the way things are done in society. I don't believe in all of the shoulds or the ways we get told we have to live and do things. I feel like a lot of that, you know, I kind of want to tear the systems down, but I'm not a person who's going to go out like at the front of a protest and like, you know, I wouldn't have been the people tearing everything down in the French Revolution. Probably I might have been writing about it or something, but like, same. Do you know what I mean? So like quiet rebels. So yeah, those are the people I tend to work with. And then what I support with is, like how I write it in kind of a short way on my website is coming to know and trust yourself so that you can live and work in ways that truly honor who you are and support you to feel good. Practically, you know, a lot of that is like a lot of it can be learning tools to support your nervous system, to regulate your nervous system as you're living and doing your work. I think especially for creatives and business owners, that's a really big one, like of noticing how the ways we're doing things or thoughts that we have are disrupting, dysregulating our nervous system, and then bringing in a bit more tools and practice to support that. It can support with, you know, feeling more true to yourself in your work and your creative practice. It could support with starting a creative practice again after not having had one, supporting with confidence, anxiety, recovery from burnout, or not getting into burnout, you know, so supporting yourself to build a life where you don't go to that place. Exactly. Yeah. And I often work with a lot of people who are drawn to me are live with some kind of identity that places them outside of who a lot of our society and our rules are made for. So a lot of people I work with would be neurodivergent or identify as disabled in another way or have a chronic health condition. And I really support people to find the ways to do things that work for them with their with their uniqueness, you know, rather than saying
their makeup.
Yeah, rather than like going, oh, these are the ways I have to do things, but this is, so therefore I can't do it because it's exhausting or like it just doesn't work for me, you know? So it's really that.
That's really interesting. It's like you're really helping people to be really true to their own nature and their own energy and their own capacities.
Mm-hmm.
And like also not see themselves as the victim, like that they are unique and that like very often the things that we struggle with are the gifts that we have too. And I love your explanation of the good space, it being like a space, but also like that, like you referred to that word sukha, which I know from my own like very brief experience with yoga, that, you know, the ease inside us. Mm-hmm. And it is like that transformation work that you do with people, that's only possible from the inside out, isn't it? Like with the help of supports, obviously, but it is like, how do I stay connected to, or how can I stay connected to the root back to the sukha inside of me? You know,
because, exactly.
You know, it's hard to keep it up all the time, you know, but like to know the way back there. And I love that you're growing your business like around this value and this principle. And then what I'm also hearing is that you're then meeting people who are very different from each other. Your clients are all different needs, but you support them individually to access their own inner sukha, or how, like, to kind of figure out the way back there. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not like I don't have a set, you know, some coaches might have a set kind of program that they take people through, and I don't work in that way. Because that's just not me as well. Like I'm very much respond to the person who is there and respond to, I meet everybody as a human as well. And I think that's important, because especially if people come to me and they might, you know, identify as having a certain mental health condition or physical condition or whatever it is. And that's, and we work with that and we take that in, but we also meet them as a human. Like, so we allow that to be present, but also say, okay, well, you know, I guess it's like you said, like allowing that to be not the limitations, but just what we use to find the ways that best support. So it is, it is really unique and individual, and it is really, going from the inside in terms of maybe embodied work. I pretty much always will incorporate embodied work with people that I'm working with, whether that's some grounding, or whether that's a few movements that I share, or maybe it's a longer session that we do together, a yoga session, so it can really vary what we do in sessions, or whether it's looking at things like beliefs and changing the beliefs that we might have and the beliefs that we've learned and things like that. So,
I love that. It's very holistic. It actually sounds like my practice, which I love, you know, working with people, right? There's no formula. It's like, let's sit opposite a human and figure out what's presenting between us, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've actually been to, I think it was just one of your classes, one of Ellen's classes back in Manchester, was it in Chorlton?
Yeah, it was. That was right when I started my business. Yeah.
In a little yoga studio. It was a little yoga studio. I remember it was kind of a new place. Was that your house? It wasn't your house, was it?
It wasn't my house, no, but it was in a house. It's a gym. It was a really lovely gym that was run by, it's called Little Box Gym. It still exists.
Oh yeah, Little Box, yeah.
Run by like a family, and the women of the family ran it. So there was like a grandmother and the mum and the daughter, like they were running it. They had this tiny yoga studio space that fit like six people, I think. And that's where I very first started. Right when I moved to Manchester, like right after I qualified as a yoga teacher. So right when I was kind of newly qualified and I'd moved to Manchester, and I was like, right, I'm going to set up these yoga classes. And that's where I did them. Yeah.
That's so cool. So where were you living before? Where? Brighton. Before Manchester? Oh, you were down south. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that where you're from?
No. I'm from a place called Shrewsbury, which is in Shropshire. Near North Wales. And then I went to university at the University of Sussex. So I lived in Sussex, or I lived in Brighton for 9 years, and then moved with my partner, who's now my husband, to Manchester. Yeah.
Fab. Yeah. So I was living in Manchester. It was 2017, I think, 2016, 2017 when I was there. And maybe 2018, kind of around that time. It was a couple of years before the pandemic. I love that the pandemic is like an anchor in time, you know, like a reference point.
But it is. It's like a... Definitely. Yeah. Life is like before the pandemic and after the pandemic.
Or after,
for sure. Yeah.
So I was there, and Chorlton is a very artsy, creative little.
Yeah, it's like area. The Brighton of Manchester, isn't it?
Yeah, the Brighton of Manchester. Yeah, it's southern Manchester, isn't it? It's kind of.
Yeah, but
it's
it
near,
is. Yeah.
It's near enough the city, too.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I was living there. And then I was actually doing volunteering in the Tibetan.
The Buddhist Center, right?
The Buddhist Center, yeah. Yeah. I was volunteering because that was across the road from the apartment I was living in. And I was. Because I was working from home as a language teacher online. Mm. And. I needed to get out and connect. And then I used to go to the cafe in the Buddhist Center, and then I saw that they were taking volunteers. So I worked there like once or twice a week.
Yeah. And I think I met you there.
Yeah. That's where we met.
A mutual connection, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember you were sitting at the window with someone else I can't remember who someone else was.
Marta.
Oh yeah, because she was working she volunteered as well in the cafe, didn't she? And then she introduced you to me. That's how we met. And then I think you were also putting up flyers for your classes.
Yes, that's right.
And then I was like, ooh, who's this girl with the flyers? I haven't met her.
yeah.
And then you were doing like seasonal Ayurveda stuff. And I was at the time, and I had just done the Red School work. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of in the same place business-wise as you, kind of just at the very start, mm-hmm. you know, which is really interesting. Anyway, all that to say, I went to Ellen's. She had an Ayurvedic themed yoga like workshop retreat thing. It was a long morning afternoon thing, and it was so gorgeous. And it was all about the seasons and living a little bit more in flow with the seasons. And we did some movement, and it was just very deeply nourishing. And then you gave us, something. Was it like a concoction of some sort? It was like, or maybe it was a drink or something.
it was something
in a jar.
Yeah, I did. I think it was the winter one that you came to, right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So I made, or the autumn one or something, I made golden milk.
That's right.
And then I made you all a candle, I think.
Oh, it was a candle. Yeah.
Yeah, so I made golden milk candle. And I think maybe energy balls. And then I gave everyone a candle. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was like, I had something in a jar.
Yeah,
it was a candle.
It was in a jar. Yeah.
Concoction. Mm. Sorry for butchering that. But yeah, it was so gorgeous, and it was really nourishing, and it really brought for me the whole like Celtic wheel, the pagan wheel thing, which I've done some episodes on, you know, the inner seasons to life, and also like that relationship with the external seasons too, and thinking about how we can support ourselves seasonally with our energy levels. It really, really brought it to life, Ellen. So I'm really grateful for that experience, because for me it was still something I was learning about, and you know, learning about from a cycle point of view.
Yeah.
But what your work is really looking at, like diet and food and that relationship with the external seasons as well, and you know.
Yeah, it's really a lot about lifestyle and thank you so much for what you shared about the workshop. It's lovely. And that's really how I got started with that. I did those seasonal workshops. I did them for a few years. I did them for a few years, and then I did sort of longer day retreat kind of things, and that's kind of where my business was going. And then COVID happened and I couldn't do the in-person stuff anymore, and I did some of them online. And then I developed an Ayurveda course, a whole online course, and ebooks as well that I would sell online. I'm going to put them back up at some point soon. It was on my list to kind of redevelop those things.
Let me know and I'll share them. Yeah, because yeah, I'd say a lot of people listening to this will be really interested in learning more, because it really brings the menstrual cycle awareness work to life, you know.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely, definitely. Yeah. And I found it really interesting, kind of, so it's just part of the seasons that I work with. And I said I work with the inner seasons, the menstrual cycle, and then connecting that to my work, connecting to the outer seasons through the lens of Ayurveda and the pagan wheel of the year. I really work from it from a lifestyle point of view. So I've gotten more and more into, you know, for myself, really looking at how I can work from that point of view, and how I can bring that theory into how I run my business, which is a lot of time what I support other people with as well. Like how can they have their creative practice or run their business or live their lives in a way that is not ruled by the toxic productivity hustle mentality of our culture, but actually more connected to what is was traditionally our culture of connecting to the seasons and going in flow with that. So although, you know, I do talk about food and things like that, I more talk about how you want to change your work or how you want to adapt that and kind of how you want to move and be in the season. Yeah.
Well, let's get into that if that's okay. You just set up the next question, the next topic. Yeah, right. So, because that is something that I'm really interested in as well. And I know there's people listening to this who are practitioners and creatives as well, you know, and they're learning, like, it's that, it's the difference between knowing the information and then bringing it to life and living it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And like, how do we do that? Because, and you, this brings me back to the topic of this episode, I guess, which is being busy from a place of ease. The reason I chose that, and that's a quote from Ellen directly from her Instagram stories this morning, so I need to credit her. But it's the, yeah, I was looking at your Instagram stories. You were talking about the work you're currently doing with the Arts Council, right?
Yeah.
And you've got projects going on, and then, you know, you have both of your businesses, and I'm sure you've got personal stuff happening too. Mm. So you're spinning plates. And how do we, with, you know, as even practitioners in this work, how do we stay connected to those values and those ways of being when things do get busy? Because that's the reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's something that I'm
hard
kind of,
question.
It is. Well, and it's like I'm in the middle of exploring that right now. It's so funny. Like, I put it on my Instagram story because I'm like, this is what I'm experiencing right now. And Lisa was like, let's talk about this.
Yeah. Okay. It's like, I'm on it.
I am not an expert in this. Well, you know, it's, yeah. And I think,
how are you, before you get into answering it, like, how are you experiencing it when you say that's something you're exploring right now?
Yeah. So I've been busy for, I'd say, a couple of weeks. Last week it really started to get busy, and this work is, it's part of the work that I do. I will be putting on my website is supporting artists as an access support worker with their funding applications. It's partly lives in the coaching space, partly lives in my creative practice space, and sort of brings those things together. It's a lot of computer work. It's a lot of, and there's a deadline for this particular funding, so it's just a little, you know, it's a compressed thing. And when I look at my calendar, I can feel overwhelmed and stressed, especially because, and I think this is relevant to say just in case anybody listening identifies this way, I have recently realized that I am neurodivergent myself.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, part of that as well is that when I can get overwhelmed with looking at things like schedules that feel tight and planning things in the sort of in time, I suppose. Like, I'm good, I'm organized and I can do it, but like, yeah, sometimes I can feel overwhelmed. That's also an aspect of my Ayurvedic dosha, and this is where I kind of just move between the different labels because they're all explaining the same thing. So my dominant, my nature, so one of the doshas that's dominant within me, can feel overwhelmed and get scattered and get like, can then maybe freeze, right? And that's a nervous system response. So I guess how I'm experiencing it is, at the moment, and the sort of last week definitely, I was able to observe myself and notice what was happening, and what I very easily can get into the like toxic productivity, hustle, keep going state of our society, especially because of one of my other dominant doshas in my Ayurveda can put you in that state quite easily. So notice myself just kind of going like, go, 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 got to do all these things, and feeling very like masculine energy and very linear. In the way I was being, you know, like you're sat at your computer, you're staring, you're doing the work, you're in straight lines or whatever. And I've been able to observe that, which I think is a really key thing. Like, I think goes to what you said about this difference between knowing the stuff and actually embodying it in your life. And it's been years, you know, like years of me knowing the stuff to then be able to build up moments where I can have awareness of what I'm doing, to then maybe be able to go to change it. So it's like, I feel like it's a process of like, first you get stuck in the thing and you don't even realize till afterwards what was happening. Then you're in the thing and you're able to see yourself, but you're not able to change anything. And then you're able to see yourself and you're able to come back and go, how can I change this? And so like one thing that I did this week was yesterday, Monday morning, I started my day with a massage treatment with this amazing massage therapist that I see. And she's like a super holistic practitioner. And I went, so, and I walked there and back. So it was like my whole morning was gone. And I was like, this feels so defiant of what society says. Like, I've got all this work on and I'm starting the Monday by going for this massage. I'm starting my week by having this massage and this really lovely thing. And I specifically said to her about, because we talk about these things at the beginning of like, what do you want to bring to the treatment, what do you want to get from it, etc. And so I was saying like, oh yeah, I want to be in that feminine energy and I want to be able to feel like I can be busy but it can be easeful, and that I'm not in this linear fixed state. So that's kind of how I'm working with it at the moment. And And I was thinking yesterday when I was talking about it, about the warrior goddess Durga from Hindu mythology. And I was thinking about how she brings a different feminine energy, because we can think that to be in feminine energy is to be soft all the time and to be, you know, relaxing or resting, which it is and it can be. But also you have got goddesses like Durga or Kali, or, you know, and whatever tradition you want to draw on, there are really fierce women goddesses who can embody that other side of, okay, yeah, well, I'm getting things done, but maybe I don't have to do it in the way that we've been told in our society. And maybe the other thing that I'm exploring is, okay, well, how can I do this work and do it well, but not, could we just kind of let go of the belief that that has to be really hard and it has to take a really long time?
Yeah. Gosh, there's so much in that, Ellen. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, there's so many parts to who we are, isn't there? Like just on the last point there about the different goddesses and how those are like archetypes for different parts of us. I can really relate to what you're saying. It takes time. It does really take time. And I think like one of the things I see in my own work personally, but just like professionally as well, is that there's a lot of perfectionism in the space, like in this work. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like we can learn this and then assume, oh, we now need to learn how to like live 100% cyclically perfectly. And that's not helpful. That's actually can be quite harmful, because the reality is, like, you and I are working with clients who are living in systems where barriers exist. Like, we can't take down all of the barriers, because that's people's reality. And so it's like what you're saying, like learning how to navigate the barriers, you know, learning the boundaries, learning our capacities, what we will put up with, what we won't, and that it's okay to make mistakes. And, you know, yeah, like I love the massage thing. Like the other, because I've just moved to a new part of, well, I was going to say the part of the country. I'm still in the east, but it's, you know, an hour from where I was before, 2 hours, an hour and a half. And so it's a new town and I'm settling in, and I put my back out pretty badly a couple of months ago. Like I slipped a disc. It was really bad. And I've had to like do quite a lot of rehab and physio and stuff. And I haven't really been exercising as much as I usually do and have wanted to. And like, you know, with moving and everything, I haven't felt great in my body, to be honest. And I've loads of things to be doing that are quote unquote urgent, right? But yesterday I was like, fuck it, I'm going to like sign up to yoga class, you know, once a week. And I found down the road a 10 minute walk from my house, there's a course starting, like a big kind of a, like a beginner's course. Well, like I'm not a beginner yoga practitioner, but I think it's good to go back I'm trying to heal this back thing, you know? So I'm going to do that. And it's once a week. And I just thought to myself, like, it's an hour and a half, it's midweek, it's on a Wednesday at like 10. And I was like, that is kind of a work day, but I can do it. I can fit it in. Like I have to, do you know, like it really comes down to prioritizing the things that we need and the things that are helpful for us to feel good.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I really love that you was like, oh, it's a Wednesday and it's this time. And like, that's something that I've been thinking and talking about a lot. Like, I really feel like if we work for ourselves, whether we're freelancers or we run a business, whatever, I really feel like we have a responsibility to actually, if we work for ourselves and we believe that the way that we relate to work in our society needs to change radically, then I really feel like we have a responsibility to be the ones making that change, because we have the power to, because we are in control of our time, right? And one of the reasons that we probably want to work for ourselves is because we're in control of our time.
Yeah.
But then we might find ourselves working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. And it's like, well, why? And so if we believe that needs to change, we have to be the ones doing that work to make that change, because it is easier for us. There are less barriers. And obviously everybody within that will face their own barriers. But I think you have to use whatever privilege you've got there.
Yeah, exactly. And not compare ourselves to, I used to compare myself, like as a self-employed entrepreneur, I used to compare myself to like 9 to 5 people because I wasn't being productive in that time, you know, on certain days. And I was just why am I comparing my schedule to people who have jobs? You know, like that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like everyone will work differently. And even people in the workforce, in that, like in employment, there's loads of people who work different hours and, you know, weekends and all sorts of things. Not everyone works in an office.
Exactly. And the thing is as well, like, and I found it really hard to let go of that 9 to 5. I'm getting there. But like, I think I've worked in traditional employment for quite a while. I've done that kind of work. It takes a while to let go of it. Even when I was in traditional employment, you don't do work consistently for 8 hours a day. Nobody does that.
No.
Well, actually, unless they're like nurses or midwives or whatever working in a hospital where you're literally on, you know, but in that kind of, especially in like a desk-based job, you're not.
Yeah, you slack off a lot. I remember doing that because I've worked in my lots of office jobs and I'm not great in the mornings, like work-wise. I like to take it slowly in the mornings, but I can be very productive in the evenings, and that's nature, you know.
And it's so interesting that you said you slack off a lot, because is it really like, it's just us, like we go through rhythms, right? But how we think of it is, if I'm not seen working at my computer, I'm slacking off and it's bad. And it's like, well, maybe it's not, like maybe I'm literally just following my rhythms. And now I'm really good at working, and then in 30 minutes, I'm going to need a break, and I'm just going to like hang out for like 20
minutes. Yeah, 100%. And that's another thing we have to question, is like the words like we use with ourselves and how we speak to ourselves quietly. Mm-hmm. And like you say, like I actually am a very productive person, and I get quite a lot done when I am focused. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not like you say, in that 9 to 5 thing, I can get stuff done. I have to be careful though not to work too late, because then it's pushing into the circadian rhythm.
Yeah, then you can't sleep.
You know?
Yeah.
So I have to have like discipline and boundaries with myself. But evening wise, I can be like early evening, I can get stuff done, you know, after dinner a little bit here and there.
Right.
It'll depend. And then that's why I love menstrual cycle awareness as well, because that really helps with my own expectations of myself, you know, particularly in that pre-menstrual phase. It can be very challenging for me around that time, and my brain is just scattered, and just to have that grace with yourself, doesn't it? It's so helpful to know these things.
Yeah And that's compassion was something I was going to say earlier when you were saying, you know, there's a lot of perfectionism in this space, and I do think having grace with ourselves, having compassion is so important, and allowing ourselves to not be perfect. And compassion is the key. I've only realized that like this week. I feel like I had this epiphany, and I was like, my therapist has been talking about compassion for ages, and I've read about it so much everywhere in like, you know, spiritual texts, and suddenly I just like realized how amazing it could be.
It's so good. It's like I see it as a tool, like it's you know, a tool that I pull out and rely on regularly from my toolbox when I'm working with people and with myself. I love Tara Brach's work. She speaks about it a lot. The being busy from a place of ease, I'm myself in a busy time as well, or at least I have been recently work-wise and personally, and same as you, I've had to, I think in the past I would have expected myself to get through things quickly and do them correctly, whereas now what's happening is I'm getting better at letting things that are not urgent be kind of messy, you know. And like, for example, and this is not a big deal, I'm sure everyone's done it, but just as an example and an analogy of how I do things in my work as well. Like when I moved here into this new house, I was really busy that week. So I just literally had to just like park all of the unpacking and just take out all the essentials. And I was stepping over things in the room and, you know, just pulling things from random boxes in different places and not caring. I was just getting on with it and, you know, taking my shower and eating my meals and showing up for work and just letting the mess be there. I didn't have to tend to it immediately. And that's been really, really helpful in my work as well, is to kind of really ask myself, like, what is urgent? And rarely what's important is rarely urgent, and what's urgent is rarely important, as they say, you know. So it's really discerning, like, what actually is required of me this week. That's something that I really come back to a lot, especially if it's busy or if I'm stressed or if my health, you know, takes a turn.
And it's different things will be the things that we choose to prioritize at different times, right? Because sometimes things that we think are urgent work-wise or whatever, so if something happens to us health-wise, then we need to prioritize our health, then we can just push everything and we realize that like it's actually okay. Other times we're like, I want to prioritize this work and this busy period, and I'm like, you know, in a place where that feels good, so I'm gonna let the house be messier or like not prioritize that unpacking or whatever it is, rather than I suppose trying to do everything
Yeah.
Because we feel like we should be able to do it all.
I know, right? It's the perfectionism that just creeps in and the high standards and like the not being able to relax if the kitchen's a mess. Like, what is with that? You know?
Yeah, I know. But sometimes like some of those things, I guess it comes back to like knowing yourself and prioritizing stuff. Because I guess sometimes we might know that if the area around us is a mess, we won't work that well, depending on, you know, our brains or like whatever. Like if it's literally dysregulating our nervous systems, then like maybe we need to do something about it.
That's a really good point, actually, because when I'm like, if I'm doing client work, I don't care what's like on the floor beside me once it doesn't look really messy in the room, you know. But if I'm doing kind of creative work, I do prefer to have, I guess, a little bit of a clear space for my headspace, because I feel like any kind of creative work, I need the headspace to think. And sometimes the ritual of doing a little tidy, not a massive paint the house situation, because I know I could also go into that, right?
Tidy,
it's kind of a ritual of sorts, isn't it, to get ready for stepping into the unknown that is the creative space.
Absolutely, yeah, it can be. And it can be also like a break for your brain, like moving between different types of productivity or different tasks. Like, so if you're working, you know, on something that's quite computer based or admin based or whatever, and then you need a break and you find yourself doing the laundry or washing up, well, actually that's okay, because your brain, it is giving your brain a rest, and it is also engaging your body. So it is actually a bit of a break also. So we can use it in that way. But it's all about self-awareness, isn't it? Because then it's like, if you're doing those things because you're like, I'm doing it because I have to do it and I should, and I don't want to let people down, then like, I hate doing it, it feels awful, then maybe don't do it.
Yeah, it's a different feeling inside, isn't it?
Yeah.
That the inner space that you talk about is like, how far towards the dukkha is that, or is it more towards the sukha?
Yeah,
side,
exactly.
Feeling or the bad feeling.
Exactly.
That's like your barometer. So yeah. Ellen, for you, like being busy from a place of ease, like, do you have any little hacks or things that, because you know the way you work with people is like helping them learn about themselves, do you have things that you've learned about yourselves, and especially with the new discovery of the neurodiversity as well, like what kind of like things are unique to you that support you in your own rhythms?
So I think building up the self-awareness is really important. So I think like for me, helping myself, like I've known about Ayurvedic dosha theory for a long time, and I've like known about my nature for a long time, so that's always informed how I do things, so I can notice what my tendencies are. So I know that like I have a tendency to, this is interesting actually, so I have a tendency to potentially get like blinkered at the work, and if I'm in a busy period of work, that I can just like, I'll try and keep going. That's also a skill, and it's pretty much like a hyper focus neurodivergence thing that I can do that. So you can kind of utilize that, but then I suppose I might use things like, for example, setting timers. Like, this is a very practical solution, like setting timers on things, or I actually find using Google Calendar to be quite helpful when I have a lot on. And navigating a timetable or like a schedule for myself has been a really interesting experiment, and I think it's really interesting for people to experiment with in terms of like their nature, because I actually really like to not have too much planned in, and I like to free flow and be able to be creative and stuff, and that's part of my neurodivergence again. Like, I'm able to think differently and have creative and get loads of ideas and all of the time, and that's amazing sometimes, and it's one of my dominant Ayurvedic doshas as well. So it's amazing sometimes. That Ayurvedic dosha is called Vata dosha, and it's associated with the element of air and ether. So it's like really a lot of movement and space, but obviously like it needs containing a little bit. Now, if I don't have loads of tasks to be done and I've got space that I just want to be exploring ideas, then that's amazing. And I don't like using my Google Calendar really, or having too much on my task list. I find I can cope with it. If there are things that I need to be doing and thinking about, if I try and hold them all in my brain, I can do it, but it will be quite hard. Like, I can do it, I'll remember them, it's not that I'll forget them, but it feels hard to me. Like, it feels like it's all inside me and it's overwhelming. Then I like to use Google Calendar. So I've just, you know, this week, my calendar, like, I block it out the time. So I kind of use that time blocking. So I've got this boundary to myself. Mm. Like, okay, I'm doing this from this time to this time. And I'm giving myself that time to do it. And that's the time that I have to do it. Or if I'm working on these funding applications that I'm helping people write, then I might say I've got like a little egg timer thing that's for work. So it times 15 minutes. So I might say I'm going to use one of these per each question and just write whatever. And so allow myself to focus in that way. The other thing that I'm trying, so this is something that I really want to practice, is allowing myself to have that sense of space in between the things that I'm doing. Because when I am busy and I'm working on lots of things, I can get caught up. So that, say I've finished a task on a computer or I finished a meeting, I'll feel like in that kind of like hyped up energy space where I might then want to just like pick up my phone for no apparent reason and go on there, and then get distracted on there, and then email, like look at my emails, and then Google something, and then like, and then I haven't had any space. So then I can feel like really not in this place of ease. So it's more like, okay, can I allow myself to go in the garden and look at the sky, or you know, whatever it is. Can I prioritize going for a walk first, or can I prioritize the things that I know nourish me first before? Because I think it can be really easy when we're busy to go, the only thing I need to be doing is getting on with work. And sometimes I do, sometimes I have to start something earlier. But I do notice that if I am able to prioritize going out for a walk in the park or having the massage, for example, that I can be more productive. Like yesterday I did loads in the afternoon. It didn't matter that I hadn't been there for that morning. So I think it's some of those things have been really helpful. And allowing myself to drop some stuff, you know, like, so I might be feeling like, oh, I've got to post on Instagram for my business, you know, this many times and I'm not doing it, I'm dropping it. It's like, well, I don't really have to. Like, I've gone months without going on Instagram, and like, it's fine. It is okay. And kind of, and trusting, I think, has been really important. Trusting that things are working out and trusting that it's all going as it should, kind of thing. Rather than getting caught up in panicking and worrying. Like, I think when we're busy, we can make it worse for ourselves, because we start thinking, again, we start thinking it has to feel stressful and it has to feel hard. It's like, well, actually, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, it's the belief. I love that you, that's another quote I took from your Instagram. I literally transcribed this in my journal when I was reading your story. the challenging learned beliefs that work has to be hard and take a long time to be worthy. You know, to be worthy. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. Like, it's, there's a lot in our belief systems too, isn't it? And I suppose that comes back to, you know, like Industrial Revolution times, our ancestors, they did have it hard. So it, there, you know, and there are jobs that are hard, but it's not set in stone as like truth. You know, there's always going to be a choice or an option of a way that you can relate differently, or that you can treat yourself differently, or talk to yourself differently, or change something, or make requests, or whatever. And something that you didn't include in what you've just shared there, which I'd love to share with the audience, is Ellen has a really nice autoresponder coming from her inbox. So when I emailed you, I get an autoresponder, which is, I think it's like the mindful inbox.
Oh.
And you're basically saying to people, like, I'm not checking my inbox every day, so it might take me a few days to get back to you, and here's the reason why. I can't remember exactly what it is word for
me.
It's lovely. And it, like, what it does for me is, it's like, oh, well, obviously, like, I'm never really expecting people to reply to me immediately over email. If I need something, I'll call, you know?
Yeah.
But and that's really, that really happens. But it's just actually quite inspiring as well, Ellen. You know, it's inspiring. And I've seen other people do that too with their inboxes, to have that little boundary and that I suppose, setting of expectations. And it's good for you, I imagine, to not always be checking your emails.
Yeah. Now, actually upholding that is another thing. I don't always check my emails. I don't always check that inbox in particular. But I did notice last week, I put this in, last week I did an email to my newsletter, and it was just like things I've been doing this week, and one of them was checking my emails on my phone far too much, and I really want to change this habit. Like, I think partly it's because I don't have my emails for the good space. They're not in my phone, like they don't go to my Gmail account, they're like a different thing, so it's harder to log in, which is great. Like, putting barriers around things that you find yourself doing that you maybe don't want to be doing is really helpful. But my other one, I found myself checking a lot. And I was like, I don't want to do this because it feeds scarcity mentality, and it tells me that I am reliant, like my time is dictated by other people, because I was like checking to see if things had come in related to the things I was working on, or like so I think you know, it's easy for me to check it on my phone, but again, that's part of me getting caught up in the doing, you know, once I'm in the doing, I can get really caught up on that treadmill of doing. It's like, oh, I must check my emails, I must do this. So I'm really trying to be mindful of that again with those emails, which is a different account. But even that one, I have a little thing at the bottom that says I won't get back to you really quickly. Unless we're working together, then I will get back to you within this time. So it is good to set the boundaries, I think. Yeah. Mm. And like you said, I think it does inspire other people. Like I did it, I set that email signature up from seeing somebody else's.
Oh yeah, no, and that's really inspiring.
That's the way that we make change. That's like what I was saying, like that's our responsibility to kind of do things differently and share about it, I suppose, and put those things in place.
Yeah, not keep them because that's the thing. Like, it's funny because it wasn't in your, like, I was like, wait, Ellen, you do this. You forgot about this thing that you do. And I suppose you forgot because you don't see the email coming in, but I see the email coming in. Yeah. But I love what you're saying about barriers. I have this, I'm going to share one of my little tips, is that I like having my phone around me. Like but I'm also really conscious of like checking it all the time. Mm. So I just have it here in my hand. And something that I don't like though is that on smartphones, if the screen is black, if you get a notification, your screen, it pops up on your screen. Or some phones have like a little light that kind of like flashes purple or green or whatever. And so I have a phone cover with, you know, a flap on it.
Yeah, that's
just
good.
So that I don't, like, it just closes. It's like a boundary in my
phone. And that's another, that's nice. I think I got a new, this is an advert for a Google Pixel phone, but other phones are available. No, but I needed a new phone recently and I got the Google Pixel, and I was actually really impressed with the amount of tools it has to support your well-being. One of them, like, it has this whole digital well-being setting. So you can set up like apps that it blocks during certain hours. And then if you want to, thing is, you can actually use them, but you click it. So it like becomes grayed out, and then you click it on your phone and it says digital well-being, like this app is blocked. Do you want to use it for 5 minutes? And you can hit yes. But then it means like if you're scrolling Instagram for 5 minutes, it will come up and be like app closing in 5 minutes. And so like then you know how long you've been on it. And then also like I could turn off that whole notification coming up. They don't show up on my screen at all. So loads of things like that, and you can turn it to like grayscale after a certain time.
Oh, I have that on my phone. I have an Android phone now. It's not that new, so I don't think I have the app, that app setting where you can close the apps, but I do have the digital well-being, and I have it set to go gray at like 10 p.m and then to come on color at 9 a.m so, and I usually wake up earlier than that, and I always do. And so it's just the guilt feeling that helps, you know, like you feel like, oh, you have to go through a few different clicks to turn it off.
Yeah, it makes you think like, okay, why am I actually doing this? Like what? Yeah. It just slows you down.
It slows you down. And you're just like, because the reason you set it up in the first place was to be mindful of screen usage and everything. Mm. And, you know, so it does slow you down. And like, there are times where I'm on a call, a video call, and I still want to see the person, so I'll just turn it off. But like, I know I'm doing it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And then I have to, like, turn it back on.
It's all about intention, isn't it? Intention and awareness, I think. And I think that's a key thing for being busy from a place of ease, I suppose, is like still allowing yourself to have the awareness and maybe questioning, like, what does busy need to mean? Like, maybe being busy or being full is less things than you thought it had to be. So there's still a bit of space for you to have that awareness, for you to have a lunch break, for you to go for a walk or do yoga or whatever it is.
I love that. I'm kind of telling myself like I don't want to be someone who says, oh, I'm busy all the time. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm really busy. You know, once people ask you, like, you've been really busy.
Yeah. And then I hate people's response is, oh, that's great. And like, I've had it before with tradesmen who come to the house, and obviously I work from home, so I'm always the one here when people come to do work on the house, and they ask, you know, they get chatting, sometimes they're really friendly and they're chatting, and they obviously work for themselves as well, and so we might get talking, like, oh, you've been busy, and I'm like, yeah, I'm really busy at the moment, like, and maybe I'm like inside I'm like, it's awful, I'm stressed, I'm too busy, this is horrendous, and they're like, oh, that's great, and I just want to, I'm like, how can I succinctly challenge that when people say that back to me? Or like,
it's not good.
Yeah. Actually, no, it's not. Let's break.
It doesn't always mean I'm getting paid more either. Sometimes you can be less busy and get paid more.
That's exactly what I want. That is what I want to cultivate. I want to be able to work less and earn more. That's where I'm going.
It's possible.
Oh my God, I know it's possible. I know.
We're doing it. Yeah.
I know people who do it.
Yeah. You got to think. Yeah, it, that's a whole other topic. Well, maybe we could like set that goal and then talk about that next
week. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good idea.
How did we do that? How did we cultivate it? No, but there are different ways to do that. And it's challenging. It's challenging those stories we tell ourselves, like, oh,
yeah.
Like you don't have kids, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't have kids either. And so if it does happen, like that'll be a whole other reality. Like
yeah,
it
sure.
really, really will. I'm getting a notification that my recording time is up on my Zencaster. So, it's been such a lovely conversation, Alan. Thank you so much for joining me to chat about being busy from a place of ease, and which we are doing and looking for imperfectly, I think. And sharing it, I think sharing these things is you know really helpful, and all those small practical things that we're doing, that you're doing, help, you know, when we prioritize ease, I think it helps us in our decision making, doesn't it? And like you say, intention and awareness is such a big part of it.
Absolutely.
So I wish you really well for your easeful week. I know you've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And thank you for carving out the time to be with me here. Where can people find your work? What are you offering?
Yeah, so my website is thegood-space.com. I just had to check that. I know it, but I just had to look it up. Yeah, thegood-space.com. So people can go there and they can look at, I've just started doing blogs again, so they can kind of read, you know, not loads, but a few, they can read things there. My podcast archives are there. My podcast should be coming back soon in a slightly updated thing. My podcast is called Create Shift, which you can find on all podcast platforms. You can sign up to my newsletter on my website, which is probably the best place to kind of stay in regular contact and find out what I'm doing, and also get inspired by different things, hopefully, that I share around this work. And then I'm on Instagram at thegoodspaceuk. So yeah, they're the places people can come and find me.
Super, Ellen. Thank you so much. I'm going to put all those links in the show notes so they can just find them easily and get in touch and sign up to your lovely writing.
Yeah.
And your work.
Amazing. Thank
you. Yeah. So good to see you, Ellen. Thanks
you
for
too.
Being on.
Thanks.
Bye, everyone. See you soon. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.